Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you are listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. If you listen regularly, you've heard me talk about my background and the joy that I discovered as a missionary surgeon, as well as the chief medical officer at Temwick Hospital in Kenya, East Africa. I served in that capacity with World Gospel Mission for about 20 years when Dr. David Stevens invited me to join CMDA's leadership team. Brother and sisters in Christ who are serving God in medical missions, well, they will always hold a special place in my heart. And healthcare missions is obviously a key part of CMDA's ministry. We like to say around here that medical missions is built into our ministry DNA at CMDA. Well, last week, Dave Stevens and I spent a whole day training a group of 11 new medical missionaries with Samaritan's Purse, and they'll be leaving soon with their families to serve in various mission hospitals in Africa and Oceania for the next 2 years. Today's episode features a great discussion that I recently had with Dr. Mark Crouch, who has spent the last decade serving in a remote hospital as a missionary physician at Kujip Nazarene Hospital in Papua New Guinea. I think you're really going to enjoy hearing about the lessons that he has learned over the years. So let's jump right in. Well, today on CMDA Matters, we have reached across the globe. And we have joining us Dr. Mark Crouch, who's a physician over in Papua New Guinea with his wife, Esther. Mark is a husband and father of four and has been a missionary doctor in PNG for going on 10 years. Mark, it is indeed a privilege, a pleasure. I've been excited about this opportunity to have a conversation, and God willing, the technology is going to work for us here morning your time.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, and we hope that our internet out here in the jungles in the mountains of Papua New Guinea will sustain us all the way through it.
Great. I had a recommendation several months ago from our director of our Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions, Dr. Doug Lindberg, who works with Bert Jones, who's with us today here in the studio, our vice president of missions and member care. For obvious reasons, I've invited him to join me as a co-host because he thinks every day about missions and his own background and sending teams around the world. Both of us want you to know how glad that we are that you have nearly completed 10 years of service as a medical missionary. These days, it's not to be taken for granted to have someone reaching nearly a decade of service, given all the challenges, COVID, pandemic, and so forth. But a few of our listeners might know a little bit about your hospital, but for the sake of those who know nothing at all about Nazarene General Hospital, tell us just a little bit about your hospital there in the highlands of PNG.
Yeah, we are part of an organization called Nazarene Health Ministries, which is run by the Global Church of the Nazarene, but based here in Papua New Guinea. We are not Nazarene members, but they've very graciously and faithfully given us a venue to work out our calling. NHM was founded in 1967 in Papua New Guinea. So it's been around a long time, and from the early days of being a mission dispensary, it evolved into a district mission hospital, and now for the last 5 years serves as the provincial hospital in Juaca province, which has a population of roughly 400,000 people. Each year we'll see between 50 and 60,000 outpatients in our clinic. We perform about 3,000 deliveries in our maternity unit, about 2,000 surgeries. We admit roughly 7,000 patients to the hospital every year. Mm-hmm. It's a busy place, lots of patients, and we are part of a larger organization, as I mentioned, Nazarene Health Ministries, which also helps to run 9 rural health clinics throughout the country in Papua New Guinea, and that's been one of the avenues of ministry that's been dear to me. The other organizations that we work with here in country are our College of Nursing, so the Nazarene College of Nursing. We train 30 new nurses every year. We have a Bible college that our ministry is a part of, and a teacher's college as well. So we have some institutions of preaching, teaching, and healing threaded throughout the ministry and reaching pretty much every corner of Papua New Guinea. the spiritual focus of the mission hospital is preserved down the years and through those institutions. I'd say from the early days of the 60s, when things started here, early days of evangelism and bringing the gospel to perhaps the last frontier in the world. From there, we've developed a need and a calling and a ministry towards discipleship and training. And one of the biggest challenges we see in our area on the spiritual side is the syncretism. There's a lot of blend of previously held tribal beliefs along with Christian witness and influence. And so teasing out an authentic and gospel-centered faith from animism is where we kind of pour our efforts in terms of discipling and ministry in Papua New Guinea now.
So just a follow-up question, how big is your medical staff and how big is your missionary staff there at the hospital these days?
We have gone through a pretty significant adjustment in recent years. The current situation, we have 5 medical missionaries, 2 missionary surgeons, 1 missionary obstetrician. We have a Papua New Guinea doctor, a graduate of our what we call rural health training program, which is akin to family medicine, but kind of beefed up for our setting. We have 3 PNG docs in training with us right now. And we have 1 Papua New Guinea dentist who works our dental clinic for us.
Mark, we talk a lot about God's call to missions and the influences of people in our lives. Your father, who founded In His Image Residency, tell us a little bit about the influence your dad had on you and the call to missions.
That was a really important aspect, I think, of my journey into missions. I don't know that I appreciated it in my formative years. The first thing that comes to mind is cultivating an atmosphere of missions. I had some discussions with a colleague who pointed that out to me in my parents' living room, actually, when we were home on furlough, that being in and around people who felt the call of God to use medicine as a ministry is pretty unique. And I don't think it felt unique because I've been around it my entire life. Mm-hmm. So that aspect of In His Image, just being part of my DNA, was to cultivate an atmosphere that really favored listening to God's call and specifically developing aptitude or skills or things to meet people in some of their greatest times of vulnerability and need in providing ministry. The other aspect of that is having a role model. So this atmosphere was created, but a role model was right in front of me. Mm-hmm. We used to joke that my dad would get on a plane and then later ask, "Where's this plane going?" His model of just adventure and getting out there.
He's very proud of you, Mark. We can't be together without him bringing you up and him giving me an update on how
right.
Mark's doing in PNG.
I've got that impression sometimes. He actually came here some years ago now, and I'll spare one anecdote from that time. He came with me, you know, he's in his 70s, and I'm thinking, it's a big journey to get here. It's a lot of work in the clinic. And he's seeing patients with me in the clinic, almost like shadowing. And every patient, he's taking notes on a little notebook, like a medical student. He's so excited to see all these patients. And he says, "Hey, if you do surgery tonight, call me. I want to come up." So I have a lady who needs a C-section. It's, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning. My dad, who's in his 70s, is keen to be there. So I drive down to go get him from the house he's staying, and he's already literally running up the path in the rain to come to the hospital to not miss the surgery. And we're scrubbing in, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's been a while since my dad has probably done a C-section, you know, probably decades. And I just had this terrible moment of, am I going to have to, you know, pull a nasty surgeon card on him and like slap the hands or something. I just had this fear. And then as soon as we got into the case, it was like riding a bike. He just, it was perfect. And so we had a nice moment of delivering a baby together by C-section in the highlands of Papua New Guinea after some decades of that sort of, you know, atmosphere and that role model position. We got to actually be across the table together. That was nice.
Nice.
Well, what a godly heritage, and I encourage you never to take that for granted. But as Dr. Chupp said a few moments ago in the interview, 10 years of service, congratulations on that. That's a major milestone in missions and ministry. And I was just curious, how have you and Esther been able to remain resilient and avoid burnout in the midst of a lot of attrition that's taken place from a lot of medical missionaries?
I would break this into maybe two arenas. One is the more philosophical and the perspective arena. The other is the very practical. The ability to have a mentor when we arrived here was pivotal. Our mentors were Bill and Marcia McCoy, who had served at CUGIP for a little over 20 years when we got here, and prior to that for nearly 10 years in Swaziland and Southern Africa. Bill's mentorship was one of the things that drew me to this place. This wasn't really on our radar as our mission field, but Bill's presence was a strong force in, I think, God directing us here. He wrote a story about, I'm sure everyone has heard the story, about a boy helping starfish stranded on a beach. In this story, Bill introduced a brand new perspective to me. And I'll reiterate it here. The boy, as many of us know, is walking across a sandy beach that's flooded with starfish. Starfish are dry. They're not in the water. They're going to die. And he starts throwing a starfish back into the ocean, one at a time. A somewhat cynical passerby says, "How is this going to make a difference? What's the purpose here? You can't make a difference to this whole beach." And he picks one up and throws it in and says, "I made a difference to that one." Mm-hmm. It's a very touching story. And I think in the first year that I was here, I framed it, as I always have, as, you know, being diligent for the one. Bill's take on the story revolutionized my thinking in terms of God's role in his redemption in the world and our role in his redemption of the world. Bill writes that the truth is we're not the boy and we're not the cynical passerby. We're the starfish. And because we've been lovingly tossed into life-giving waters, why wouldn't we bring others along with us? That perspective and that philosophy, we're invited to partner with God's redemptive work. And it has created a spirit of resilience, I think, for Esther and I. We get scars. You can't get through this kind of thing without scars. You can't avoid those.
Right.
But knowing that God is already here and inviting us into that work is meaningful and powerful and kind of reframes our ministry and our effort. The other side is the practical side. Down the years, we've seen folks struggle to adapt or adjust. We've seen conditions when they're good, when they're bad, kind of as Paul writes, having plenty and having almost nothing. One thing that seems to be pivotal is developing coping mechanisms within your country of service. Mm-hmm. By that, I mean not clinging to your sending country's paradigms of what restores you and regenerates you. For us, that's been developing places where we can have family time here in Papua New Guinea, finding our favorite spots for getaways. Some of that is down to being spiritually fed on a daily basis, podcasts, other sermons, lectures, the community that we have here. I think all of those are important. One thing our leadership has implemented recently is what we call our ministry and vision days. And each of the missionary doctors on their Fridays, we have one person who covers emergencies and maternity, but the rest of us can look throughout our ministry, all of the departments of ministry that we do here, and invest, so give of their time and their energy and their talents into a very specific ministry that touches their heart. For me, that's been medical education and public health, but others have done different things. And I think that's also important, that as a health worker, you see so much that's challenging. You need something that kind of brings your heart to life as you serve.
You know, Mark, you're the medical education coordinator there at CUGIP, and for many of the legacy mission hospitals, whether they're in Africa or in Asia, different places around the world, there tends to be this continuum of focus on medical education of nationals, national professionals, and slowly but surely the numbers grow and grow and grow until, you know, the missionaries become a very much smaller portion of the staff who are providing services. Where does CUGIP fall on that continuum right now? And do you see, like many of the legacy hospitals in Africa that have, you know, basically been nationalized, is that in the near future for CUGIP?
I think that's a great question. As the person who focuses on training of PNG doctors, I think my most natural response should be, yeah, sure, why not? I'm not in administration or management or leadership. And so there are things about that that I don't understand. And we have a great team who look at those things. It's interesting. I attended a talk by Dan Boenaru, and he was
pediatric surgeon. Yes, he was at Kajabi Hospital.
Yes, and gave a really interesting talk at a conference in which he invited the audience to cast their tomatoes at him. But one of the things that really stuck with me was a concept he suggested, which was, we've embraced this idea of sustainability. And in mission hospitals, which I think are still a pivotal part of health missions, he invited the audience to consider the idea that making a mission hospital sustainable doesn't mean that there aren't any missionaries. Mm-hmm. I can paraphrase what he said. Maybe he'll get back to me if he ever hears this, but the idea of sustainability is very, very popular amongst the public health circles that I work in, you know, UNICEF, WHO, those kind of groups that want everything to be sustainable. So it's just a 3 to 5 year contract, and then we move on. His point was, you know, there's enough out there that God can mobilize from places that have great resource to places that have great need. And sustainability doesn't need to look like fewer and fewer missionaries. It probably should look like more and more national medical ministers working in their hospitals. But I think the goal of phasing out missionaries shouldn't be a target. It might be a natural consequence of some of the way that God develops the work. And I think that is a good thing. But there's still the need, I believe, for expat medical health worker missionaries in these kinds of environments. It demonstrates the partnership that God intends for his world, those who are diverse and different partnering together to bring about the restoration of individual hearts. I believe that's the thrust of his mission in the world. And I think in terms of a medical mission hospital, I don't think the time has come for those to go away. We certainly want to teach, train, but I think that needs to be partnered with good, caring, effective clinical services and bringing the redemptive work of Christ into that relationship between doctor and patient or nurse and patient, whoever's taking care of them.
One of the privileges we have in the Center for Wellbeing is coaching doctors who are considering a call, maybe in retirement, to go on the mission field, to use their services. When you think about that call of God, you've obviously heard the call of God. What kind of encouragement would you have for some of our listeners or advice that you might give them in pursuing that calling?
There's a great book by Danny Sills, I think, called The Missionary Call. He describes 3 different calls. The first he summarizes as all should go. There have been advocates for this paradigm down the years. Basically, everybody should be in a foreign mission field unless they're specifically called to stay. There's another paradigm, all could go, meaning the call in Scripture by Jesus is sufficient that anybody can enter a foreign mission field, and it's a matter of choice and guidance from the Lord. A third paradigm would be some should go, and emphasizing the great needs, challenges, and demands on missionaries, only some who are specifically called to go overseas should go forward in that work. I'm not sure if I've decided that one of those is the premier one, but for me, I felt a common sense call into the mission field. During my formative time in His Image, I looked at the headlines in the news. I looked at my Bible and I said, these don't match up. Something needs to be done. And over time, God nudged me and whispered to me, you have some skills, you have some abilities. They're not great and they're not as good as mine, but you have some things that you can offer to this. And some of the gifts, aptitudes that I had for travel, for medicine and those things, it felt natural and right that God would lead us into working overseas.
Mark, I'm just curious. I'm not aware of any future medical missionary dating app that's out there. So speaking of call, I mean, how did God put it on Esther's heart? And clearly there's not staying power and sustainability in missions for a married couple unless both are so passionate. So talk to us a little bit about Esther and how that's worked over the years. She's non-medical, I think, right?
Right. No, we didn't meet on an app. I used to joke that she was a mail order bride because we dated long distance for quite a while. I'm sure she'll appreciate my expression of that. But we initially met working with a group called Mercy Ships. Esther's parents are missionaries with Wycliffe Bible Translators. They were stationed in the UK after she initially grew up in Nepal, where they were working on projects in South Asia. After a political issue there, they relocated to the United Kingdom. And then she and I met working with a group called Mercy Ships. That team was together for about 6 months. Some of that was based in the United Kingdom, where we were refitting a new ship for hospital work. And then from there, we went to Africa for some months. And the team was doing various projects in terms of medical outreach, discipleship and evangelism outreach, ship's duties, which was great. You got to feel like a pirate and, you know, clean out the bosun's locker and things. And so we met on the Mercy Ship. Since that time, we both have felt and sort of, I think, cultivated the call in each other's lives. And that is pivotal. The support that she has been down the years through difficult times, difficult events, challenges to us as a couple, as a family, challenges to our kids, and won't go into all of them. Don't think that question or interview would ever end, but having that is vital. And I don't think there's a missionary dating app. Maybe there should be. Maybe that's an untapped venue.
Something for CMDA to pursue maybe for the future.
Yeah. That would be a creative ministry for CMDA.
Something we could think about in the future for raising money for medical missions, huh?
Yeah, you go to it.
There you go.
Go for it, Mr. Vice President. Yeah, Vice President of Missions.
I don't know if the board will appreciate that or not. But Mark, you talk about the role of effective medical ministry to involve health provision, health promotion, and health power. What do you mean by that?
This was something that came out of my public health studies. Interestingly, I met a physician, Cynthia Hale, many years ago, and I had already been thinking about public health. We were having breakfast somewhere at like an In His Image retreat or something. And she said, "Mark, go to the mission field for a year. After a year, if you think you need to study public health, then do it." And after we'd been here for 1 year, I knew this touches a significant part of my interest. And I think it can be a very valuable tool in ministry, especially in this setting. From those studies and some of the things I've been involved in here in Papua New Guinea, like measles outbreaks and the COVID pandemic, which taught us a lot, the ability to use my public health training in our setting has been significant. But it's also opened up my eyes to the larger role that health missionaries can play in serving the poor, the needy. Health provision, health promotion, health power. Health provision is just providing services. Jesus for the one. He stopped in the middle of a crowd to touch the one, to call them out, to bring healing, physical healing into their lives, but to turn their hearts around and to leave a legacy that 2,000 years later, we still read about for one person. Mm-hmm. And health provision is giving service and giving care to that one person. That's why I say that I think the role for medical missionaries, healthcare missionaries is still vital. I think we still need people who leave their place of comfort, their home country, and enter into a new environment to be challenged themselves, because it changes them and it changes the people that they will bring health services to. Health promotion is educating, especially the community, about the way that God has designed our world, how we get ill, why we get ill, and things we can do to prevent getting ill. We have village health education that happens almost every day here, and people who can take ownership and prevent illness in their lives and in their families do well. And we educate and promote teaching of Papua New Guinea doctors in our setting to do the same. Health promotion is a lot of health education. Health power is one that is more recent, I think, in my endeavors. Many of the places that we work, if I give them information about how to prevent a disease, they have no power in their lives to actually implement what I'm telling them to do. The place that this struck me the most was in working with my HIV patients. We have roughly 2,000 people living with HIV that we care for through our ministry, from newborns who have been exposed at birth to those who are exposed on the job or through sexual assault, rape. And I found myself giving them messages to take care of themselves and then realizing over time, some years, sadly, that the conditions around their lives that led to them contracting HIV didn't go away just because they came to my clinic. And the environment around them left them essentially powerless. So even though they came to get services, even though I could treat the thrush that they presented with, even though I could teach them about taking their medicines or changing their behaviors to prevent further consequences, in many settings, they weren't able to adhere to those things, not because of any fault of their own, but because the structures around them were just stacked against them. And I think as health professionals, we have an obligation and a pretty significant voice to provide advocacy for those without any power in their own lives. Paul Farmer references this as one of the great founding physicians, Virchow, who called doctors the natural attorneys for the poor. And those who are sick, poor, and cannot be a strong voice need people to be that voice for them in arenas of health policy, other sectors of government advocacy. And I think as physicians, as health workers, we can make a significant difference in what their environment looks like so that ministry can happen in a way that they feel valued and they know that God treasures them and gives them authority within their own life.
Well, Dr. Crouch, thank you for joining us today. I don't want to finish up this interview without giving our listeners an opportunity. You've got a blog, email. Where can folks go to read your stories, keep up to date, and continue to pray real time for your ministry as well as that of CUJIP? Where can they go?
Yeah, the hospital's website is nazhealth.org, nazhealth.org. That's a good resource for the different parts of our ministry here. My personal blog, Big Name Belong You, hope it goes in the show notes.
Yeah, we can put those there.
It's a pidgin phrase, which means honor to you. And every 2 or 3 months, I'll try to update that with a story from our ministry here in the hospital. Those are probably the two best touch points for the work, both that our family is doing and as part of the greater work of Nazarene Health Ministries here in Papua New Guinea.
Well, all I got to say is praise God for In His Image residency. There are global workers, missionaries around the globe and in some really tough places. So next time I get to see your dad, I'm going to say finally, yes, I did get to have a conversation with that son of yours that you inspired to become a missionary down the road. So thanks for joining us today on CMDA Matters, Dr. Mark Crouch.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you have a heart for missions and you want to learn how to live missionally in your life, in the U.S. or around the globe, then now is the time to register for the 2023 Global Missions Health Conference, known around here as GMHC. This year's event is scheduled for November 9th through 11th at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And when you get there, be sure to look for the CMDA neighborhood in the exhibit hall. We'd love to introduce you to all the ways you can use your skills to serve others. Visit cmda.org/events for more information.
You know, Dr. Crouch and the team at CUJIP Hospital in Papua New Guinea are They're certainly an inspiration to us all here at CMDA because they've been obedient to God's call on their lives and dedicating their healthcare careers to bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world. If you find yourself sensing that same call on your life, then I've got a great resource for you to check out. It's a bi-monthly e-newsletter under the name Your Call, and it's available for healthcare trainees or graduates who are looking to develop the call that God has for them to missions. You can learn more and subscribe by going to cmda.org/cam, C-A-H-M. That e-newsletter is one of a variety of resources and opportunities that are available through CMDA's Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions, which we call CAM. That's led by Dr. Doug Lindberg, and CAM mobilizes and supports healthcare professionals to use our skills to help people encounter Jesus, both here in the U.S. and around the world. Wherever you are in your healthcare journey, we are here to educate and encourage and equip you to live on mission each and every day. We can serve others who are the lost, the poor, and the marginalized through healthcare as we seek to follow our Savior, the Great Physician. Our question should never be if we are living on mission, but rather where and how we're doing it. If you have questions about getting started, just visit cmda.org/cam. For those of you out there who are preparing to join healthcare professionals like Mark in a cross-cultural international setting, then be sure to check out the pre-field orientation for new healthcare missionaries. It's going to be held in Louisville, Kentucky on November 6th through the 9th, just prior to this year's Global Missions Health Conference. During this training, we will be talking about all the unique opportunities as well as challenges that healthcare missionaries face. To learn more and to register, just visit cmda.org/events. You know, as Bert and I talked with Mark today about his work at CUJIP, it reminded me that the cover story from the summer edition of our CMDA Today magazine featured another missionary physician from CUJIP, Dr. Jake Morris, who recently moved to PNG with his wife and their six children. And Jake actually served on our board not long ago as the resident member of our trustees. They've shared a great article with us about their journey, how they prepped their kids, as well as their own hearts, to join the Crouches and the other missionaries there at CUJIP. If you haven't read that article yet, I encourage you to check it out. You can find it on our website by going to cmda.org/cmdatoday. If you'd like to hear more stories about missionaries' lives and their experiences, be sure to visit the CMDA bookstore. All of CMDA's resources that we have published, plus a whole host of medically reliable and biblically sound materials, are now available for you because of our partnership with christianbook.com. You can visit cmda.org/bookstore for more information and start browsing the new store today. And don't forget, you can read more from Dr. Crouch's blog and the hospital there, CUJIP, at the links that we included in our show notes today.
CMDA's Center for Well-Being helps Christian healthcare professionals align with God, optimize well-being, and maximize influence. If you find yourself feeling burned out and overwhelmed by your daily demands, please reach out to our team in the Center for Well-Being. After all, you pour yourself out for others every day, and this is the place to be refilled. Plus, we've been expanding our services in the center to help meet the great needs CMDA members have. You can sign up for certified coaching training courses that prepare you with the skills for coaching those in your sphere of influence, and our team can even help you walk through the difficult challenge of facing a malpractice lawsuit. Plus, we offer marriage enrichment weekends and retreats for our members to refresh and restore their marriages. Our team members have been where you are, and we want to help you through the challenges you face. Visit cmda.org/wellbeing to learn more.
next Thursday. I hope that you'll join me right back here for a new episode of CMDA Matters. I'll be joined by regular co-host Dr. Jeff Barrows, and our guest will be Dr. Thomas Epps, who recently took a courageous stand for life, like Daniel in the Old Testament, daring to stand alone. It was at a gathering of the American Medical Association. You don't want to miss it. As always, if you'd like to suggest a future guest for our CMDA Matters podcast, you can email us by using cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like our podcast, especially if you listen week after week, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share us on your favorite social media platform. As I close, I can't help but think of this particular verse from Acts 1:8. I think most of you know it. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." Healthcare missionaries like Dr. Mark Crouch and his family are truly serving as Jesus' witnesses all the way there on the ends of the earth. Would you pray for them and their ministry this week? And just as this verse reminds us, we don't have to go to the ends of the earth to tell people about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us the resources to be His witnesses everywhere, whether that's in the U.S., across the street, in your neighborhood, or even 3,000 miles around the globe. And by following the Holy Spirit's leading in Jerusalem, throughout your Judea, in your Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, we will bring the hope and healing of Christ to our world. That's what matters to CMDA, friends. And CMDA matters. We'll see you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.